Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Trump is amping up the house cleaning. It is great. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Starting right from the bottom here, Mike Griffith's on. Gritterdom is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Michelle Tal is on. Order in the Court is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Granite 2468 is on. Snod Donald 311 is on. D9597 is on. Golf Master 1 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Robin Aroni is on. Judy Anita is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Snag Dog is on. Todd Stuff is on. Stefa Toms is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Those Jesus people is on. Joe Enns is on. KVVMS is on. K4VMS is on. Charlie 340 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Granite 2468 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Hassle Free TV is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on. Waterline 46 is on. Let me see here. Going on down. Sixlin is on. Milwaukee James is on. Big Scott 1 is on. The Great 8 T1AU is on. JD Will is on. Beckland 60 is on. Luann 5 is on. Lady Vu is on. Aaron the producer is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Let me see. Uncle Wally is on. Confederate One's on. All right, pretty good. Love you guys. Love each and every one of you. Really do appreciate it. Let's hop right up to the first one. Starting off with Doge, as always. Right now, probably starting off with Doge for the rest of the next 4 years, I'm assuming, as we cut this stuff. All right, the Treasury Access Symbol, TAS. Kind of important when you're doing computer programming, when you're actually coding things, to have an actual symbol, because you're actually coding, which is what actually tracks where everything's go, where everything goes. The Treasury Access Symbol, TAS, is an identification code leaking a Treasury payment to a budget line item. Standard financial process. Standard financial process. In the federal government, a TAS field was optional. How is that? It's just like, it's like Anthony Fauci signing into the CIA. If I sign in at the CIA at Langley, first of all, I'd have to have a thorough background check. But I would be on their sign-in sheet, but not Anthony Fauci. Same thing here. Strangely, $4.7 trillion didn't require a TAS field. Isn't that weird? It's as if they didn't want to track it because they removed the tracking system off of the $4.7 trillion. That's four. Now, everybody see that was a T, right? $4.7 trillion worth of payment and was often left blank completely, making traceability almost impossible because that's on purpose. When does this get into treason? When exactly does this get into treason? I mean, who received $4.7 trillion? Exactly. I would love to know that. Now, we already found out yesterday. I can't remember exactly how many people it was that are receiving all those Social Security payments. You know, like 3 million people over the age of 129 receiving Social Security payments. I mean, is this part of that $4.7 trillion? I mean, again, who knows? Because the Treasury writes the checks coming out of Social Security. As of Saturday, this is now a required field. There we go. I mean, shouldn't it be required to track every last dime that's being spent from taxpayer coffers? Shouldn't it? I mean, this is all unfathomable. Honestly, I'm rarely at a loss for words. But I don't even know what to say to this. It's just so ludicrous that $4.7 trillion was spent, and who knows where? I mean, this is the state of the union that we are living in. Now it's a required field. Increasing insight, basically, as Elon writes through this, I know it's not him, it's one of his people working for him, but increasing insight into where money is actually going, thanks to U.S. Treasury for the great work, because now the Treasury is actually being run by the Trump administration. And it's just like in the pregame, we had HHS is $22 billion. Stephen Miller was talking about this to CNN or MSNBC. Can't remember which one. But just simply asking, don't you want to know where $22 billion went missing? Nobody has any idea. And that was out of HHS, Health and Human Services. Okay, now, what's Health and Human Services over? They're also Health and Human Services. DHS hands off all of the children coming through the southern border To who? HHS. It gets confusing. DHS allows them across the border, traffics them across the border through Catholic and Jewish charities, traffics them across the border, and then hands them off to HHS, and HHS comes up $22 million missing. $22 billion missing. Missing. Just nobody has any idea where it is at all. And it's so funny to watch the CNN people. It's, again, this reminds me of the COVID thing. I shouldn't go into a COVID rant, but they remind me of all the COVID-caving conservatives. The COVID-caving conservatives. The falsely compassionate conservatives. The Bush-style conservatives. It reminds me of that because the CNN host says, we all want to cut government waste. No, you don't. No, you don't, because CNN, I guarantee you, we're all wondering, how does CNN stay on the air? I guarantee you they're getting USAID money at least third hand, at least third person. Via, you know, maybe Pfizer receiving USAID money because Pfizer sponsors most of CNN's programs. But they say they want to cut. Everybody agrees we want to cut government expenditures and government waste and fraud. No, she doesn't at all. Does that mean she gets fired? She doesn't want to cut at all. Just like the corrupt judges with their corrupt kids who keep turning out. You need to watch Alex Jones on this. A lot of these judges that are in these cases, they actually have NGOs. Do you know that, Aaron? I didn't know that. But these judges over these cases, there's like five cases. There are more than five, I believe, but it's five that I know of. They're not only are there NGOs involved in a kind of a peripheral way, but the judges themselves are parts of NGOs receiving money out of NGOs or are running NGOs that are receiving USAID money or other government money, and now they're not allowing Trump to freeze the assets going into the NGOs that they're made multimillionaires from. So the CNN knows, oh, we all want to cut government. No, she doesn't at all. And where do you, how do you compare this to COVID? Because I saw COVID caving conservatives, CCCs. I haven't said that for a while. You saw them. They would say something like, well, you know, I agree with what's being said, but just not how it's being said. Okay, then why did you not? Okay, if you agree with what's being said, then why didn't you go along with what's being said? Why didn't you obey what's being said? Like the things, what that was from a specific lady in my church. Said, well, I agree with what's being said, but I just don't agree with how it's being said. Well, if that's the case, then you agree with the truth, but just not how the truth is being espoused, then why didn't you obey the truth? Why didn't you actually live in the truth? Why didn't you actually apply the truth? Because the same person locked, quarantined her own family for a couple months, made sure she social distanced. So you obviously didn't agree with the message either. It's always an excuse when people say, well, we agree with the message, just not how it's being said. Well, again, then why don't you live in accordance to the message then? Because you don't. Just like the CNN host doesn't either. All right, let's go on to the next one here. Insurrection Barbie video. Michael Knowles. Every single person needs to watch this. More from USAID. Play for me.
Here is Rory Stewart explaining his connection to USAID.
Stopped. Doesn't matter. You have a contract. So, Turquoise Mountain, which my wife Shoshana runs, has a contract. Had another $1 million to go. Money just stops.
Oh, hold on. Wait, there's a contract between some organization and USAID, and the contract stopped. And hold on, his wife ran that organization, and they were supposed to get another $1 million from the U.S. government, and that just stopped? What organization does his wife run? It's called the Turquoise Mountain Foundation. You can't make this up. The Turquoise Mountain Foundation exists to teach Afghani peasants about degenerate modern art.
So this is in some ways often called the first piece of conceptual art. Does anyone know what it is? I don't expect the ladies to know. Exactly. An artist called Marcel Duchamp, who's very important in Western art, put this toilet in an art gallery about 100 years ago.
That's where your money's going. Your money is going, or was going until Trump got hold of it, to pay off the wives of British politicians turned Yale professors to teach Afghanis who probably have more important things on their mind about how perverse Western anti-artists decided to pretend that urinals and toilets were, you know, Caravaggio paintings in the early 20th century.
That rundown from Michael Knowles is too brilliant, really, even to say again. But it's absolutely hysterical what he said. So our taxpayer dollars go to British politicians' wives who run the Turquoise Mountain Foundation. And that, and the purpose of the Turquoise Mountain Foundation is to expose degenerate modern art to Muslims. So she can give lectures to Muslims about degenerate Western art, about how degenerate it is. So she can actually tell a Muslim that it's not legitimate art when you paint a picture of a toilet. That's what our taxpayer dollars are going to a British politician's wife to tell Muslims that degenerate art isn't good art. That's where our money goes. And all, it's so funny though, because all of the Democrats right now, if you see these, I mean, it is the most depressing protest you've ever seen on Capitol Hill. It is so depressing. It's near the Washington Monument. There are thousands of people there, but it's hard to tell from the camera angles. But it's so depressing. It's so lifeless because you are actually there protesting so that millions of our dollars can go to British politicians' wives who are now Yale professors to espouse that degenerate modern art is no good to Muslims. And you're there protesting to keep that financial stream going. I mean, the Democratic Party, we barely even need now to campaign against them. They can campaign against themselves. You're there. You're wanting us to pay for circumcisions in Mozambique. I mean, imagine being there protesting that, and you're a CNN host who's a Goebbels propagandist still receiving tail end USAID money, I'm sure, and you're espousing that, you know what? You cut too much, and there's a couple people that look after nuclear weapons that you cut. Not people pushing nuclear weapons buttons, people that maybe have something to do with storing nuclear weapons, despite what they say on the CNN panel. Oh, weapons are going to be fired. No, nobody, only people firing nuclear weapons are military personnel. Not one person in the military has been cut. Not one. But those people looking after nuclear facilities, you know, nuclear ingredients, whatever it may be. And a couple of them were accidentally cut and had to be clawed back. Oh, horrible. And Aaron said it right before the show. Fire everybody. If they want their job back, offer it back to them. There's going to be some overreach and there's going to be some underreach. We're going to fire people that we shouldn't have. Okay? And we're going to not fire people that need to be fired. And we're going to have to retroactively go back every time and rehire the ones that need to be rehired and fire the ones that weren't fired. It's as simple as that. It's the way it is. And I just can't imagine being on the side of people who want millions of dollars going to Mozambique for circumcisions. But that's where the current Democratic Party is. Truly unbelievable. All right, Big Fish video. CBS caught using Samantha Power speechwriter. Now, we've played her on this. We've played her, I think, twice on the show. And this person has been proffered to the public as a rudimentary USAID victim. This Big Fish writing this. CBS caught using Samantha Power's speechwriter as random servant Doge victim. This woman keeps showing up as if she's just a random run-of-the-mill, rank-and-file USAID employee. No, she was put out there by Samantha Powers, by the globalist left, because she's actually a speechwriter, allegedly can speak well, but she's no run-of-the-mill, barely making it by USAID employee. She's actually Samantha Powers, who used to be in charge of the USAID. Till a week ago, this woman is actually Samantha Powers' speechwriter. Play for me, Heather.
There's no process. No one explained to them why they were being relieved.
To my knowledge, they received an email, and then if they didn't leave the building, they were escorted out of the building.
These people got generous buyouts. 8 month severance. I'm sorry, but did CVS interview the fired Keystone Pipeline workers, the fired Army officers who refused the needle, or Black Americans who lost their job to migrants? No. That one lady was Samantha Powers' speechwriter. She's no random civil servant. She's the top flack for the USAID chief. Just last week, this same lady told ABC she was pocketing her pride flags. The networks are using the same victim over and over.
Bush was in the building. We took down our pride flags. I took out any books I felt would be incriminating. No one was talking. We heard they started taking transcripts automatically of all of our Google Meets. They unplugged the news in the little kitchen galleys. It didn't feel good. And then Saturday, all of the websites went down, and then I lost complete access to my computer.
60 Minutes is CBS's premier investigative unit.
See, now I've told you, these people are zealous. They're very passionate about circumcisions in Mozambique. They're very passionate about wasting trillions of dollars in Pentagon and non-Pentagon black holes. Pentagon black hole, we're looking at the $4.7 trillion that wasn't actually traced. Pentagon's $35 trillion. Nobody has any idea where it went. And we all know where it went, and went to pay off globalist leftist bourgeois elitists. But Democrats are not smart human beings. They are not. They are actually stupid human beings. Some of them have higher IQs, and I don't mean that necessarily that they're non-functional or they don't sometimes strategize correctly, but they're actually not smart people because I guess people don't realize, even I realize, 56 years old, that everything's on video. And really the largest social media platform on the planet now is X. It really is. And as far as influence is concerned, maybe not sheer numbers, but as far as meaningful people, and what I mean by that is people who are actually engaged in the political process, are all on Twitter and nobody's on Facebook and everybody does their social stuff on Instagram. And I guess these people don't realize that all of us are watching. And when we see, as Jesse Waters put it, Samantha's power speechwriting chief flack used over and over again. It reminds me of the example that I keep using every show. If you're gonna violate campaign law, can you violate it at least in a smart way? You know, if you're gonna violate campaign law, then actually make it actually a viable fraud. But what ActBlue does is they actually use the same person for 5,000 individual campaign contributions. There's not a soul on the planet, just like there's no souls on the planet who are 300 years old that we're get writing checks to. One in the United States, we got a social security check last year. Who's 300 years old? What do you got over here? What do you got, Aaron?
That was the checks.
People over 20. Oh, my
120,
word.
Yeah.
Over people over 120. 12 million social security checks. And nobody checks any of these things. So again, these people are not smart. They're not. I mean, if we see all these videos, we're going to see that this is the same woman over and over again. And with ActBlue, they say that, you know, Joe Smith in Scranton, Pennsylvania, donated 17,000 times to ActBlue, and each check for $59. So they make it look like an individual campaign contribution that is obeying the campaign finances law, campaign's finance laws. That you can't hide it any better than that. And if we actually had a true FEC, which we do now, it's going to be found out. So Samantha Powers, this is her chief speechwriter. This is just a political acolyte that's put out there to act like a run-of-the-mill, everyday person. And that she's not in any way, shape, or form. And one great point that Jesse Waters made is they're all so upset about USAID employees being fired. Did the people who lost their jobs at the Keystone XL pipeline, did they get 8 months severance? 8 months of full pay and full benefits? How about all of the 8,000, I believe it was, military personnel that were fired from their jobs for refusing to take an experimental, clot-causing, gene-manipulating drug, gene-altering drug, mRNA vaccination? Did they get 8 months severance? No. But the media is all upset about these people getting an 8 month severance package. You ever got one like that in your life? Ever? Ever in your life? Have you ever gotten anything like it? Hey, you know what? I'm leaving my job. I want 8 months full pay and benefits. So you can actually go and they get a job in a week and get double pay for the next 8 months. You could basically almost pay off a mortgage like that, depending on how much is left on your mortgage. All right, James Fishback tweet. This is great. If they do this, this is the ultimate. I mean, if they do this, we may own the house by 100 people in the midterms if they do this. I'm telling you. President Trump and Elon Musk should announce. This is just James Fishback. He's got a large following on Twitter. And Elon Musk should announce, you just put this out there, a Doge dividend, a tax refund check sent to every taxpayer funded exclusively with the portion of the total savings delivered by Doge. So far, it's like 105. Aaron, we'll have to put up our debt clock. Have that ready for me, would you? Not right now. I mean, just have it loaded up. Have it holstered. So if they do that, it's like a last I checked, it was well over 100 billion.
It's 110.
110 billion. 110 billion. How much would that, how much would each citizen get? And Elon Musk responded directly to his tweet. We'll check with the president. So this is going to happen. I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but the discussion with President Trump is going to happen. And this would secure every decent Republican being reelected and many more being elected for the first time and many more defeating Democrats at both state and national levels. I mean, I'm telling you, you do this, it doesn't minimize anything else, but I'm telling you, when you actually reach out and give a rebate to every American, and that's Republican, Democrat, black, white, gay, trans, everybody gets a check in the mail of however much it is, even if it's $120 from the federal government, because the federal government's saying, you know, we wasted your tax dollars, we're sorry, here's a check. I mean, you just secured, I mean, Trump might as well try to run for a third time. Unbelievable. All right, let's go to the next one. Breaking 9/11 tweet. Just switching all over the place now. Animals, Hamas, barbarians. And he saw Ilhan Omar was voted in to be censored by the Congress, removed from her Foreign Affairs Committee is what she's really removed from. She's removed from the committee. She's off the committee. Well, the reason why she's off the committee is, first of all, she admitted, and we played the video here as MTG was talking about in the pregame. There was a speech where she was swearing allegiance to Somalia and actually said point blank that she was here to represent the interests of Somalia. And as Aaron said right before the podcast started, isn't she supposed to be representing the interests of Minnesotans? Isn't that what she's supposed to be? Because she's elected out of Minnesota. And then secondly, the citizens of the United States of America. And thirdly, nobody else. Isn't that what she's supposed to be doing? But she has sworn her allegiance to the government of Somalia and actually had their president here talking. The president said, that's our girl. She's here representing our interests. And then she confirmed it. Well, she's been removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. And it's so funny how you have Swalwell on the Intel Committee who is having sex with a Chinese spy. It's almost like they put them on the committees. That's exactly the opposite of their own behavior. They put them on the committees that they absolutely shouldn't be on. That's how leftists work. It's just like at the Butler, Pennsylvania site. The one building you should secure, you don't. The one committee you shouldn't be on if you're having sex with a Chinese spy would be the Intel Committee. The one committee you shouldn't be on if you've sworn your allegiance to Somalia, not the Constitution of the United States of America, is the Foreign Affairs Committee. But they make sure that they put them on the committees they're least qualified for. And I bring this all up because she loves her some Hamas. She loves Hamas. And listen, if you've fallen into the whole anti-Israel thing, that's on you. And listen, I want you to know, Israel's corrupt. So is the United States. Israel's corrupt. Mossad is corrupt. I know all of that. But they're not Hamas. It's just like, we're corrupt, but we certainly aren't Saudi Arabia. I admit we're corrupt, but we're not Pakistan. We are corrupt, but we're not the Ukraine. So, I mean, this whole thing. So Israel certainly doesn't do this. And people will be like, oh, they do it within the bombings. Okay, that's still accidental. Hamas barbarians confirmed 2-year-old Kafir, 5-year-old Ariel, and their mother, Sheree Bibas, are dead. Now, Aaron, if you guys could just side by side the next video and just mute it, and then just loop it because it's only like 14 seconds long, and just side by side, because when they put it up, this is their live kidnapping. It was caught on video. Caught on video. Now, you see her there with their two babies. Now, you're like, well, Israel kills people indiscriminately with bombings. Yeah, but it's still not on purpose. Oh, Tom, you're just a defender of Israel. You might want to read your Bible. A land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end. Okay, so that's just the way that it is. Israel is God's chosen land. It is God's chosen people. Zionism, all this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I certainly choose Israel over Hamas. And I know Israel's corrupt. I know that. So is the United States. We're covering it right now with Doge. But here they are being kidnapped. So they're kidnapped perfectly fine. Somebody put a bullet in each one of their heads. Does Israel do that? Does the IDF do that? Show me proof. The IDF does that. Show it to me. Again, I know the IDF is corrupt. So is the American Pentagon. We know that for $35 trillion is missing, folks. Missing out into the black, into a black hole. Somebody did this. Now, Israel does not capture women and children and put bullets in their head. Sorry if you believe that. You're foolish if you do. Doesn't mean Israel's righteous all the time. Doesn't mean Israel doesn't go overboard. I'm just telling you they don't do that. But Hamas does. And Ilhan Omar loves Hamas. And that's why she's been removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. And really, really sad that these three people are dead for nothing. Put a bullet in their head. Unbelievable. All right, go to the next one for me. All right, switching to the economy. Peter St. Ange video. Biden's final inflation number comes in hot. Play for me.
Last week, Joe Biden turned in his final inflation number. This is the inflation he will be handing to Donald Trump. Annualized, it came in at 5.7%. Food prices hit another record high in Biden's dying days. Now, that's up from 3.8% the previous month, and it's the highest inflation in 17 months. Meanwhile, producer prices, which are the prices companies have to pay, jumped nearly 20% annualized. Now, that's a very volatile index, but it's also one heck of a number and the highest since the darkest days of Bidenflation. Not since Jimmy Carter has a president handed off such a mess of an economy. Now, I'm old enough to remember 18 months ago when Paul Krugman announced, quote, the war on inflation has been won at very little cost. Of course, that was false, fake news, you might even say, with ongoing inflation being a major reason cackles lost. Well, that along with open borders, men in girls' room, and funding Ukraine instead of North Carolina. In fact, Biden's inflation had been getting worse every single month since last June, when it was flat on the month. So we had June at 0, July and August at 2.1%, September and October at 2.8%, November at 3.4%, December at 4.5%, and now January at 5.7 annualized. Spot the trend.
Now remember, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, well, Joe Biden in some of his exit speeches saying, I'm handing Trump a great economy. I mean, nobody can deny. And the Democrats will actually come out. Imagine being so devoid of integrity that you walk up to a podium like this and you actually say, we're handing off the greatest economy in however many years. In November, inflation went up 3.8%. In December, up 4.5%. In January, inflation is at 5.7%, folks. Trump left office 1.9%. After all the COVID crap that was dumped on him, he left office, inflation was at 1.9%. And remember, all of this is accumulating. All of this accumulates. Just because inflation goes down doesn't mean prices go down. Because if inflation goes up, say, 4.5%, that means the price is now permanently up 4.5%. And then inflation goes down to 2%. Well, it's still just added 2% to the 4.5, so now it's up 6.5%. That's how it actually works. So you actually have to lower the amount of cash in the system. You have to stop printing money so you have less cash following product. And then the prices will actually come down. Where you have negative inflation. That's what you want. So he hands him an inflation number of 5.7% in his last month in office, then walks up to podiums. Kamala Harris runs on a great economy. That's why they lost. You can't walk up to anywhere or campaign anywhere and tell America, you know, things are great in the economy when we're all sitting there looking at a wretched, horrible economy. It's great. No, it's not. But it is. But here's all the reasons why it's not, but it's great. No, it's not. It's literally like somebody kicking you in the nads over and over again, telling you they're kissing you on the lips. No, you just kicked me in the nads. No, I kissed you. No, you just kicked me in the nads. And that's exactly why, it's one of the many reasons why they lost. All right, let's go to pure Trump stuff now. Fox News tweet, breaking: Trump orders all Biden era attorneys to be fired. Okay, first of all, I'm not criticizing Trump. I will criticize Trump. Listen, if I get to my back section, and I've got a back section. If I get to it, it's not looking good though. I can't believe it's already 9:41. But anyway, if I get to the person that he hired, where is my back section here? Person that he hired to oversee it is not good. I can't find it right now. Oh, that's the wrong, I'm looking at the totally wrong section. But anyway. Person that he hired to overlook it, Trump's pick for head of pandemic response. First of all, let me ask you a question. Why do we have a pandemic response? The only people, we're going to have another pandemic. Okay, the last pandemic we had was before I was born. Many, many years. It was born. It was, I mean, way before I was born, 1917. And then we finally have another quote-unquote pandemic, which, by the way, wasn't a pandemic because it had a 99.997% survival rate. That is anything but a pandemic, correct? So why do we even have to have a pandemic response team? And the person that he picked is not good. So I will not hesitate to criticize President Trump. So my only criticism here is this should have been done 1 month ago. Fire. This, by the way, this is not unusual. This is what Clinton did. This is what Biden did. It's what Hussein did. It's what everybody does. Fire these people immediately. But how, you know, again, you can't complain because you can't, you just cannot say anything really overtly negative about what Donald Trump is doing. So congratulations on this, although I wish it was 3-4 weeks ago. Trump orders all Biden-era U.S. attorneys to be fired. Must clean house immediately. That is the best thing you can do. Otherwise, you will have people subverting your agenda using the DOJ to do so. All right, let's go to the next one. Representative Jason Crow, this is Jason Crow speaking on MSNBC. He says, I'm in Munich because I refuse to let Vance and Hegseth be a voice of America to the world. Is he allowed to do that? Everyone needs to ask themselves a question. The older millennial is going to answer that question. I'm going to use another video right after this one. And you guys can run these two right in a row. But I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth. You'll hear a better response from older millennial. Are you allowed to go and speak on behalf of the United States if you are not given permission by the Trump administration? Are you allowed to do it if you don't receive permission from the executive branch? Are you? Or is it a violation of the Logan Act? Or is it treason? Just answer everybody's question. What you see here is illegal. He is not allowed to go and represent the United States of America without the sponsorship and approval of the executive branch, which is the Trump administration. So what you see, what's a stupid name again here? Jason Crow. What you see Jason Crow do here is patently illegal. Play it for me, Heather.
Alex, the Trump administration's policies are changing not by the day, but by the hour. And I think that's a reflection of the fact that they have no policy. There's no doctrine. There's no policy. They'll put out a tweet, then they'll pull it back an hour or two later. The problem with that is that, you know, none of this is funny. None of this is comical because it has really real consequences to our partnership, to our allies. You know, I am here in Munich because I refuse to let Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Secretary Hegseth and others be the voice of America to Europe and to the world. There is a group of us here that are engaged in diplomacy, are engaged in discussions to let them know that there's a lot of people in America who understand that our economy is tied to Europe, that our peace and prosperity is tied to Europe, and that we can't pull back into our own borders and forget what's going on in other places.
Democrats are not only violating the Logan Act and possibly committing treason, but they're admitting to it on national television.
You know, I am here in Munich because I refuse to let Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Secretary Hegseth and others be the voice of America to Europe and to the world. There is a group of us here that are engaged in diplomacy, are engaged in discussions.
You're not allowed to do that. Like, first of all, it's a violation of the Logan Act. Secondly, neither a private citizen nor a member of the United States government is allowed to engage in diplomacy with a foreign nation without the express permission of the executive branch. They're just not. They are not allowed to speak on behalf of the American people because it is the right of the executive branch to engage in diplomacy. They need to get the permission of the executive branch, which they very obviously didn't. So at a minimum, this is a violation of the Logan Act. But at its worst, this is treason. Very obvious treason.
Exactly. So it's like a shadow government, which the Democratic Party promised that they would do. It's a shadow government, which is a violation of the Logan Act. Aaron brought this up and sent this to me. It was named after Dr. George Logan, a guy who tried to negotiate peace with France on his own during a tense time between the two countries. The idea was to stop random people from messing up official diplomacy, which could confuse other nations or even start wars. Now, what's interesting here is Jason Crow is simply a congressman from the blue state of Colorado. Did any of us vote? They're always talking about, we didn't vote for Elon Musk. No, you voted for Donald Trump. Whether you like it or not, the nation voted for Donald Trump, and then he can impanel people to go and do his bidding. Did he impanel Jason Crow? No. Did we vote for Jason Crow to go do diplomacy on our behalf in Germany or in the European Union? Absolutely not. Not Jason Crow from Colorado. And he says, the Trump administration has no policy. They keep changing policy, not day to day, But hour to hour. Now, there's nobody watching this. Well, there's probably people watching it closer than me, but not many. Okay, I can flat out tell you, Donald Trump has a very clear policy because it certainly is torquing off the globalist left and the Democratic Party. He certainly has very clear policies, very clear EOs, and very clear goals. And he says that Donald Trump has no policy. And he changes it from hour to hour, one tweet up, and he takes the tweet down. I haven't seen one tweet taken down.
No.
Not a one. So this man, this little twerp, Logan Act violator, borderline treasonous twerp, is a liar too. And he says, I refuse to allow Trump Advance to be our voice. What? 77 million votes. Only 4 million short of Joe Biden's fraudulent election. 77 million actual legal votes says that he is our sole voice of diplomacy. You're not allowed to do anything else. You can't engage in diplomacy. You're violating the Logan Act, but borderline treason. When you actually say, I refuse to allow Trump to conduct foreign diplomacy. We didn't vote for Jason Crow to go overseas and conduct diplomacy. Whether you like it or not, Democrats, Donald Trump was elected. He was voted in. He goes and does the diplomacy. Otherwise, you're violating the law. All right, let's go to the next one. Western Lensman video. Hakeem, minority leader, in the House, grasping for a response to Trump polls. Play it for me.
Donald Trump's favorability rating is actually higher than it ever was the first time around. Let me ask you, a recent poll by Marquette looked at several of the things that he has done or says that he is going to do, and 63% favor federal government's recognition of only two sexes, 60% favor deporting immigrants who entered the United States illegally, 60% favor expanding oil and gas production, 59% favor declaring an emergency at the southern border. Is there anything you are seeing that Trump is doing that you are in favor of, that you think is the right thing?
Let me say, as it relates to all of those issues, we're just at the beginning.
So the only thing that Hakeem Jeffries can say is, we're only at the beginning. Okay, when you are looking at these statistics, all right, let's just go over them. Favorability on issues among adults. Government's recognition of only two sexes. How often do you see 63% of Americans agree? Ever. If we are lucky, we get to 50-50. If we are even lucky. Most of the time, you're looking for a majority in the statistical data, i.e. 47 versus 37, and then some people don't vote or are somewhere in between. 63% of Americans, which encompasses at least 13% of the Democratic Party, because we're about 50-50 split. Statistically speaking, I believe there's a lot more conservatives than there are actually leftists. But anyway, so 63% of Americans agree that there is only two genders. I love what the Democrats are doing right now. I love it. They are going to decide, they're going to go with the segment of the population, allegedly 47%, and we know it's not, because the 63% say there's two sexes, and then you're probably at 30% say there isn't. And then 7% that didn't vote at all, or just say they have no opinion. So that's how polls work. But the Democrats are going to decide with a minority in every one of these issues. I love it. 80% of America agrees we should be cutting government spending, waste, and fraud. And the Democrats are going to side with the 20% who want to keep it. I love it. Keep on keeping on. And run Kamala again. Run her again. Kamala 2028. Run Kamala again. I hope they do. She's supposedly might be running for governor of the state of California. Deporting illegal immigrants, deporting immigrants here illegally. 60% of Americans agree, and Democrats go ahead and side with the very few Americans who don't agree with that. I love it. Run on that. Run on it. Run on more than one sex. Run on an open border. Run on not expanding oil and gas production, of which 60% of Americans want. Why? Because it drives down your own personal finances. It's great. Declare emergency at the southern border. 60% of Americans agree on that. And Democrats don't agree that there's an emergency at the southern border. Please run on the opposing positions. I'd love it. Run on what is in the minority in every one of these issues. Run on it. I love it. Run on opposing declaring an emergency on the border. Run on opposing the expansion of gas and oil production. Run on opposing deporting illegal immigrants here illegally. I said that on purpose because I hate how people how people try to pull these things. And that's because USA, ABC does that. Deporting immigrants here illegally. Okay, they're illegal aliens. Run on, not at recognizing that there's only two sections. I love it. Do it. Run like that. All right, let's go to the next one. Gateway pundit tweet. We got all these lawsuits going on right now. President Trump files emergency appeal to the Supreme Court to overturn reinstatement of Hampton Dillinger as head over office of the special counsel. In other words, office of special counsel over like Jack Smith, the ability to have special counsels. By the way, our special counsel, our special counsel, special prosecutor ordinance ran out years ago and was never reinstituted by Congress. So why do we even have an office of head of special counsel? Because we can't legally appoint special counsel. That's what Eileen Cannon said in the Trump Mar-a-Lago classified documents case against Trump. She said the special counsel, Jack Smith, was illegally appointed because he wasn't approved by Congress, okay? They have to, first of all, they have to reinstate the Special Counsel Act, which has never been reinstated again. It's run out. So why do we even have an office of special counsel? And why is it that Hampton Dillinger is in charge of it? Gateway Pundit article. A lot of people don't know about this. President Donald Trump has been forced to take his fight to the U.S. Supreme Court after an Obama-appointed judge, there she is, reinstated Hampton Dillinger, a Biden-era bureaucrat, as head of the Office of Special Counsel. Last Friday, President Trump exercised his constitutional duty to dismiss Dillinger from his position at the Office of Special Counsel. Is he allowed to do that? Is the Office of Special Counsel under the executive branch? Yes. So he's allowed to fire Hampton Dillinger. You know it's bad when your name's Hampton Dillinger to begin with. I mean, you just know it. I mean, you are absolutely a leftist, bourgeois, Democrat, Biden appointee. That's for sure. But anyway, last Friday, President Trump exercised his constitutional duty to dismiss Dillinger from his position at the Office of Special Counsel, an agency tasked with safeguarding federal whistleblowers. Rather than accept his removal, Dillinger filed a lawsuit to reclaim his job. How can you do that? You can't. You've been fired by the head of the executive branch. The case was conveniently assigned to, there she is, Amy Berman Jackson, Obama appointee. Now, would you want your freedom decided by Amy Berman Jackson, Tanya Shutkin, Juan Merchan? Would you want any of these people deciding? That is how, listen, we are bad off right now. I can't launch into it because I really got to get to other things. If I start talking about the judicial system, it's 9:54, it'll be 10:15 before I stop. But these people are making decisions about people's freedoms, about these other issues also, that are, some of them are life and death, some of them are prison terms and everything else, and guilt or innocence, or even whether something's a crime or not. And they are purely political activists who oftentimes, if you watch Alex Jones today or yesterday, actually have their own NGOs being financed by the USAID and by government. So they're siding against Donald Trump and freezing those financial assets going to those NGOs that are making them millionaires. Unsurprisingly, Jackson granted an administrative stay that blocked Trump's decision and allowed Dillinger to continue running the agency. Tanya Shutkin actually today decided against the leftists. She better, or she's going to be impeached herself, and they will come after her. This rogue judge went further, dictating that Trump must allow Dillinger to, must allow the trud. The judge went further, dictating to Trump, a district judge, an appellate judge, not a Supreme Court judge, who doesn't have the right to do it either. So I judge Trump is surfing a politically correct wave, and I don't mean politically correct in a negative way, by just going ahead and like appeasing these judges for now by not blatantly ignoring them, but I think it will come to a place where you might have to ignore them. But they're, no matter what, they're all going to lose in the Supreme Court anyway. There's no precedent. And a lot of this, it'll almost be like when they tried in Maine, and I can't remember the other state that did it. Maybe it was, I can't remember. But anyway, maybe it was Colorado. I don't remember. But they removed Donald Trump off the ballot. They voted 9-1 to reinstate him. 9-0 to reinstate him. That's all of these cases are in that same ballpark. I mean, there is absolutely no precedent First of all, there's no precedent, and then there's no precedent for the precedent. What I mean by that is this. First of all, there's no precedent for anybody to be reinstated in the executive branch who was fired by the chief executive. That doesn't make any sense. And there's no precedent for a judge to mandate it. When has a judge ever been able to tell somebody, you know what, in the executive branch I'm talking about, I'm not talking about discrimination cases and harassment cases and all that stuff. And most of that time, by the way, it's just punitive monetary damages, not the reinstatement of a job. You have a woman who's fired for sexual harassment. She sues, she wins, she gets a punitive financial settlement. She doesn't go take her job back. Who would want it? And why would Hampton Dellinger want to work for Donald Trump? Because he wants to sabotage him. But the rogue judge went even further, dictating that Trump must allow Dellinger to continue to have access to the agency's resources and forbidding the administration from recognizing any replacement Trump had in mind. So you have this judge, this low tier. I mean, I know she's a federal judge, but she's nothing in comparison to the office of the presidency, dictating the president what he cannot do. Can and cannot do. The Trump Justice Department's appeal of Judge Jackson's decision was dismissed by a 3-judge panel stacked with leftist appointees. So these judges who decide people's freedoms, whether people go to hell on earth or heaven back home for crimes that really don't even exist that we've seen Trump be tried for over the last 4 years that he calls hell. These judges have nothing to do with constitutionality. They have nothing to do with law. They have nothing to do with state or federal statutes. They're just political activists. I mean, literally are political activists. And it's out in the open. This 3-judge panel, it was stacked with leftist appointees. In yet another legal absurdity, the court ruled that Trump could not appeal any administrative stay. So they said that you can't, that they dictated to Trump, you can't appeal. When has a court ever been able to forbade people from appealing? Leaving the decision in the hands, and you can't appeal. Your appeal goes back to the judge you're trying to get an appeal from. You're like, Tom, this makes no sense. I know. These are leftist judges. This is literally like being tried in downtown Berlin in 1941. The decision, it was left in the hands of Jackson, the very judge who unlawfully reinstated Dellinger in the first place. With Jackson's ruling set to expire Thursday of this week, she quickly moved to extend it because she's a political activist. Arguing that Trump cannot unilaterally fire the special counsel of the office of special counsel, a blatant affront to the president's constitutional power. She will lose. Trump did an emergency appeal to SCOTUS, and hopefully he wins there. Unbelievable. All right, let's get into free speech here. Didn't get to this last night. Some of this is kind of old news now, but we really have to, I feel the need to really address this free speech issue because we've all been hampered by it. Whether it's Facebook banning us, and again, they have the 230 exemptions. They're not allowed to ban you on Facebook unless they relinquish their Section 230 exemptions as a platform. If they want to relinquish that and become a publisher, that's fine, but then they can be sued for content. But if you're going to hold on to your 230 platform exemptions, you're not allowed to ban speech on there unless if it's sexual or like pornography or if it's terrorism or violence, violent-inducing speech. Violence, actual violence. Not speech is violence. I mean violence-inducing speech. So Mehdi Hassan tweet to J.D. Vance. Look at this now. And all of us, we played it at length here on the podcast, J.D. Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference. And this is Mehdi Hassan, leftist globalist bourgeois elitist. Hey, J.D. Vance, who calls everybody who's not a Muslim like a dog or something like that. I can't remember exactly what he called us, something like that. Hey, J.D. Vance, I know you're busy lecturing the Europeans on free speech, but have you seen this? President Trump's decision to limit AP reporters' access is as much fight over the Gulf of America as it is a protest of the White House advisors say this person's obviously illiterate. Say is years of liberal word choices that AP's influential style. So Trump, I don't even care to read this because this is a word salad. But Trump banned AP reporters from the White House because they refused to use the term Gulf of America. Now, does he have the right to do it? Aaron, is Trump a platform?
No.
Oh, there you go. So he has the right to do it. Simple as that. He can do whatever he wants. He's not a platform. He's not walking around with a billboard that he gets a 230 exemption. You can type whatever you want on him. He can ban whoever he wants to ban. I can't believe leftists said, we heard this, Aaron, I heard this over the last 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve. that it's a private company, you can do whatever you want, which is a fallacy, by the way. You're not allowed to do that because it's a private company. Does that mean that you can say, okay, I'm not going to allow gays on the platform. I'm not going to allow trans on the platform. I'm not going to allow whites, blacks, Asians on the platform. I'm not going to allow a gay man to rent my condominium. It's a private company.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so that makes absolutely no sense. What matters is publisher versus platform and 230 exemptions. That's what matters. So J.D. Vance goes, yes, dummy. I think there's this. I mean, I love this administration. I mean, I'm the happiest I've ever been as an American right now. I think that I'm serious. I'm absolutely the happiest I've ever been as an American. I think there's a difference between not giving a reporter a seat in the White House briefing room and jailing people for dissenting views. Yeah. You don't get to come in because you're an idiot. And this right here is I'm allowed. You know, I run who comes in and out of the White House. So you're not allowed in because you refuse to call the Gulf of America, which the name has officially been changed by the executive branch. It's over. It is now the Gulf of America. It's not the Gulf of Mexico. It's the Gulf of America. AP refuses to say it, so Trump has the right to ban them. Certainly, okay, now they're banned, but not jailed. A little bit of a difference there. Yes, dummy, I think there's a difference between not giving a reporter a seat in the White House press briefing room and jailing people for dissenting views. The latter is a threat to free speech. The former is not hope that helps because they're jailing people in the European Union, namely Germany and England and probably many other countries also, for wrong speech. You're not allowed into the White House because you refuse to say something the president wants you to say. That's fine. It's basically the White House is his own, you know, his own private sort of corporation. While he's president, he can decide who comes in and out of the White House. And that's the way that it is. He can decide right now whether a terrorist comes in or not. He can decide whether or not I come in or not, you come in or not. That's just the rules of it. That's what he can do. It's got nothing to do with free speech whatsoever. It's the endless conflation. This is what the Democratic Party always does, is conflate issues. Actually say that an issue is something that it's not. That's what they endlessly do. All right, so let's go to the next one. Andrew, don't walk, run video. Marco Rubio shuts down Democratic Party mouthpiece Goebbels. Mouthpiece, that's my writing, not Andrew's. Margaret Brennan in brutal fashion. Play for me.
He was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far-right views and some historic ties to extreme groups. The context of that was changing the tone of it. And you know that the censorship
I have to disagree with you. Free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. The genocide was conducted by an authoritarian Nazi regime that happened to also be genocidal because they hated Jews and they hated minorities and they hated those that they had a list of people they hated, but primarily the Jews. There was no free speech in Nazi Germany. There was none. There was also no opposition in Nazi Germany. They were a sole and only party that governed that country. So that's not an accurate reflection of history. I also think it's wrong. Again, I go back to the point of his speech. Okay, the point of his speech was basically that there is an erosion in free speech and intolerance for opposing points of view within Europe, and that's of concern because that is eroding. That's not an erosion of your military capabilities. That's not an erosion of your economic standing. That's an erosion of the actual values that bind us together in this transatlantic union that everybody talks about. And I think allies and friends and partners that have worked together now for 80 years should be able to speak frankly to one another in open forums without being offended, insulted, or upset.
If Germany had only had anti-hate speech laws and had censored the Nazi speech, Hitler would not have risen to power. The Holocaust would not have happened. Some experts refer to that theory as the Weimar fallacy, referring to the Weimar Republic from 1918 to 1933, and the word fallacy because it is in fact not true that there was free speech for hate speech, including Nazi speech, during the Weimar Republic. To the contrary, Germany then had multiple laws that restricted hate speech, insulting speech, speech that advocated or might incite violence against various groups, including religious groups, laws against defaming or insulting a religion, including the Jewish religion. And all of those laws were very strictly enforced, including by the leading Jewish organization at the time. There was a very large organization, I think it's quite similar in concept to the Anti-Defamation League in the United States, that had offices all over Germany and made sure that all of these laws were regularly enforced through both criminal prosecution and civil lawsuits. And many of the leading Nazis were repeatedly prosecuted and convicted and even served prison times. There were court orders suppressing the publication of various Nazi newspapers. Pamphlets that were anti-Semitic were punished and were suppressed. Hitler himself was actually banned from public speaking for several years. We obviously know that despite the speech suppression, the punishment of speech, it was hardly effective in preventing the rise of Nazism. To the contrary, the Nazis themselves, as well as many historians, believe that the net impact of those laws censoring Nazi speech was to amplify their message, to give them attention that they otherwise would never have received, and to gain sympathy that they otherwise never would have received. This is a common phenomenon that provocateurs to this day seek to take advantage of, the so-called forbidden fruits phenomenon, that people become more interested in an idea or an expression when it gets the publicity of being subject to censorship.
So there you have it. So Margaret Brennan, she espouses to Marco Rubio, first of all, a complete fallacy called, already institutionalized fallacy, called the Weimar Republic fallacy, the Weimar fallacy, that the rise of Adolf Hitler happened because there were no censorship laws in place. The opposite happened. The reason why Hitler rose to power was because there were banning speech laws that were actually in place. Hitler came to power because of censorship, not because of the lack thereof. So if you want a Hitler to arise, ban speech, and that's what Germany's doing again. They're actually banning speech again. It was already there. They had their own ADF. They had their own Anti-Defamation League. Goebbels himself was sued 40 times. Did that stop Hitler or cause Hitler to arise? It's obvious when is it ever the case that something good happens as a result of banning speech? Ever, but nobody ever learns. It's not going to hurt anybody to be called a name, even something that is really mean. I mean, really, you have to be allowed to say, and by the way, and again, I've covered this 1,000 times, if it slips into the realm of defamation, then you get sued for defamation. But insults, who gets to decide what's hate? Who gets to decide what's insulting? If you came up to me right now and you called me a Democrat, I would consider that to be insulting. So now you can be arrested because you insulted me by calling me a Democrat. Who gets to decide? They actually have a panel in Germany. And this, again, this is the country that banned speech causing Hitler to arise, censored speech into the proliferation of Nazism. Not the other way around. It wasn't the absence of censoring speech that caused Nazism. It was the presence of censoring speech that caused Nazism, because this is called the great Weimar Republic fallacy, that people are thinking, we're going to ban speech so that there isn't a Hitler. No. Banning speech causes a Hitler, you dummies. It's that way every time. But yet here they go again. The very definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So here's a Carly Bonet video. This is all at the Munich Security Conference. This is where J.D. Vance told them, you know, we're very concerned about the European Union banning speech. And by the way, he also said, we're very concerned about the Biden administration's attempts at banning speech also, and not just attempts, success at banning speech. So Carly Bonet video, this is the end is here, and they're literally crying. Here's the guy that's actually running the conference. Play it for me.
After the speech of Vice President Vance on Friday, We have to fear that our common value base is not that common anymore. I'm very grateful to all those European politicians that spoke out and reaffirmed the values and principles that they are defending. No one did this better than President Zelensky. Let me conclude, and this becomes difficult.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of values in common. When you're going to run around like the Gestapo arresting people for insulting other people verbally. Yeah, we don't have, remember, how can you be a democratic country, whether it's constitutional republic, but a democratic country, a democracy, how can you be a democracy when you ban speech? Yeah, if we are a democracy and you are a country calling yourself a democracy, but you ban speech, then you're right, we don't have anything in common with you. Because who gets to be the arbiter of what's insulting, of what's hatred, what stirs up violence? Who gets to be the arbiter of those things? All right, May's video. This is the segment that Margaret Brennan did on J.D. Vance's speech before she claimed that free speech caused the Holocaust. Play it for me.
Well, it sounded to a lot of these allies of the United States like they were being described as adversaries or autocrats. It was really the focus here, two things. One of them was migration, and the second was what Vice President Vance calls censorship. He was trying to bring that MAGA message of the enemy within to the global stage. And specifically, he says that European leaders aren't showing that they have strong democracies when they sideline controversial groups. He went out of his way to meet with the head of the AfD. That's a political party that's under investigation in Germany because it's so far right and for potentially conducting extremism. And he mentioned that car ramming in Munich recently conducted by an Afghan migrant as an example of what he says is out of control migration. He says that's proof you've got to bring immigration skeptics into the government.
So he says that she says, Margaret Brennan says that J.D. Vance is over there espousing the same thing, the enemy within MO of Donald Trump. Well, if the enemy within is people banning speech, I mean, why would you ever ban speech? How could you ever consider that to be a positive thing in any way, shape, or form to ban speech? How can that be positive in any way? Because it'll prevent the rise of Nazism. No, it causes the rise of Nazism, banning speech. So what must have happened? If banning speech caused the rise of the Third Reich, then there must have been free speech when the Third Reich was in power then. Right? Because if free speech caused Nazism, then Nazism must have been the biggest, the political order most in favor of free speech then once they were in power, right? No, they're the opposite. So if you're going to say that the lack of free speech caused the proliferation of Nazism, there must have been great free speech after Nazism. No, it's worse after Nazis took place. It's like here, you're banning speech now, which will cause Nazism, which will actually get worse after your political system is fully implemented, which is what they want. It's just another rise of Nazism. So she espouses, Margaret Brennan espouses, that J.D. Vance is putting out the fictitious claim that there's an enemy within. There certainly is an enemy within when you are sending your police to go arrest people for insulting other people, for espousing an unacceptable Trudeau, an unacceptable ideology, unacceptable thoughts, unacceptable views. That's what it was. And not sidelining groups. So you're going to, the people in power can sideline their political opponents. They can sideline them. They can ban them. And all of these people, again, are saying that they're fighting for democracy in Ukraine. That makes a lot of sense now to me because they have the same the quote unquote democracy as Ukraine has. We have no opposition parties, no opposition media, no elections, and no Orthodox Church. They have the same things in common. And by the way, Ukraine is huge in the CBDC, huge in the transgenderism, just like the European Union is. I mean, really, it's amazing people don't ever pick up a history book. Because that's one of the very first things that Hitler did was ban speech, and you have something in common with him now. Where the heck am I? Oh, the one thing she said, she says that they won't sideline groups. Margaret Brennan says that they won't sideline groups for potentially conducting extremism. What the freak does that even mean? She wants them sidelined and or arrested or banned or censored for potentially conducting extremism? What does that even mean? Because Margaret Brennan would be arrested if my terms are that people would be arrested for potentially conducting extremism, I'd have her arrested for potentially conducting extremism. Who gets to be the judge and jury? Who gets to even be the dictionary? Who gets to be the Merriam-Webster defining word on potentially conducting extremism? Who gets to decide what extremism is? All right, Camus video. Reminder, J.D. Vance, the leader, J.D. Vance, I forgot exactly which, this is J.D. Vance talking right here. I forgot exactly which official it was within the European Union, but sent Elon this threatening letter that basically said, we're going to arrest you if you platform Donald Trump. Play it for me.
The leader, I forget exactly which official it was within the European Union, but sent Elon this threatening letter that basically said, we're going to arrest you if you platform Donald Trump, who, by the way, is the likely next president of the United States. So what America should be saying is, oh, if NATO wants us to continue supporting them, and NATO wants us to continue to be a good participant in this military alliance, why don't you respect American values and respect free speech? It's insane that we would support a military alliance if that military alliance isn't going to be pro-free speech. I think we can do both, but we've got to say American power comes with certain strings attached. One of those is respect free speech, especially in our European allies. Like, look, I'm not going to go to some backwoods country and tell them how to live their lives, but European countries should theoretically share American values, especially about some very basic things like free speech.
If we're going to have a $35 trillion black hole in the Pentagon, that a lot of it was spent in defending Europe. And by the way, it's been 76 years since World War II, and NATO was formed 76 years ago. And I'd give credit to who it was that espoused this today, but I can't remember who it was. It might have been Michael Knowles. I can't remember. But anyway, it's been 76 years since NATO was formed. And it was formed, I think it was older millennial. But anyway, I always want to try to give due credit. But anyway, yeah, it was older millennial. So 76 years since NATO's been formed. It was formed because Europe was basically it was all Dresden, Germany. It was all just leveled after World War II. And they didn't want a vulnerable Europe to be taken by Stalin. So the NATO was formed. Okay, they can't defend themselves after 76 freaking years. We're still defending them. We are their missile shield. Canada doesn't exist without us. We are their missile defense system. They don't have one of their own. They don't have a military. We defend them. And we defend the European Union against Chinese and Russian aggression and any other type of aggression that there is. So if we're going to send them a black hole $35 trillion, then you know what? They ought to espouse our values. And how in the world, why would we ever defend an authoritarian dictatorship, which is what these countries are? They really are. I mean, if you're making 4,000 speech arrests a year in Great Britain, why are we even allies with these people? Because how are they democracies? How are you a democracy when you're not allowed to speak freely? 4,000 speech arrests in Great Britain, 400 per year, 4,000 per year, 400 per year in Russia. Are you sure we're on the right side? Tom, are you saying side with Russia? No, I'm saying side with none of them. Anybody. Who should we side with? El Salvador. Who should we side with? Argentina. Who should we side with? Hungary. They're legitimate democracies that allow free speech. You are more able to speak freely in Russia than you are in Great Britain. I'm certainly not saying side with Russia. I'm just saying which one's more of an authoritarian dictatorship. And then we're going to go fight for democracy in Ukraine, another country that bans speech, bans elections, bans opposition parties, and has removed the Orthodox Church, and we're fighting for democracy. How are these democracies in any way, shape, or form? How is the European Union, where you cannot speak freely, a democracy? How is Germany a democracy where you can't speak freely? Where do you get that from? How is Germany not a democracy? Most of you have seen this already, but I got to play it just in case. And wokeness video, CBS, they put this on 60 Minutes. CBS is asking German prosecutors, is posting an insult a crime? German prosecutors, yes. Play for me, Heather.
Is it a crime to insult somebody in public? Yes.
Yes, it is.
And it's a crime to insult them online as well?
Yes.
The fine could be even higher.
Yeah.
If you insult someone in the internet.
Why?
Because in internet, it stays there. If we are talking here face to face, you insult me, I insult you, okay, finish. But if you in the internet, if I insult you or a politician,
that sticks around forever.
Yeah.
The prosecutors explain German law also prohibits the spread of malicious gossip, violent threats, and fake quotes.
If somebody posts something that's not true, and then somebody else reposts it or likes it, are they committing a crime?
In the case of reposting, it is a crime as well, because the reader can't distinguish whether you just invented this or just reposted it. That's the same for us.
The punishment for breaking hate speech laws can include jail time for repeat offenders. It's 6:01 on a Tuesday morning, and we were with state police as they raided this apartment in northwest Germany.
Here's the Polizei. Wir mussten bitte mal mit Ihnen reden.
Inside, six armed officers searched a suspect's home, then seized his laptop and cell phone. Prosecutors say those electronics may have been used to commit a crime. The crime, posting a racist cartoon online. At the exact same time, across Germany, more than 50 similar raids played out. Part of what prosecutors say is a coordinated effort to curb online hate speech in Germany.
So why are we Germany's missile defense system? Why? They're not a democracy. They're not a democracy any more than Russia is. What? How are they an ally when they have 50 raids in a night arresting people for fake quotes, insults, sharing, reposting, and gossip? 50 raids in a night arresting people for that and seizing their devices. And what really bugs me more than anything is those gleeful prosecutors. Yes, that's a crime. That's a crime too. Do you not see how this is going to turn on you? You banned your way into Hitler. You didn't ban your way into preventing Hitler. You banned your way into causing Hitler to exist. You banned your way into the Third Reich. You banned your way into Nazism. And now you're doing it again. And you're going like you're Stasi. I heard this again. I can't remember who this was either. But the Stasi didn't stop in East Germany. The Stasi didn't stop. It's still there today. It's still there today. Google bought Stasi's old headquarters in Germany. That's a fact, by the way. Unbelievable, right? Rumble Rants tonight. Tammy O'Margaret are $10. Jules, 21 hours, $5. Thank you guys so much. Thank you for all of you in the chat. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around, as always, for the post game coming up right now. You'll love it. It's great. I think it's mostly positive. Some funny stuff on there. Yeah. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.